want to break into the system.
Someone without access to the exam.
I have been doing a little hacking here, as a matter of fact.
Computers and the programs will start thinking, and the people will stop.
I still don't understand why you want to break into the system.
Because, man, somewhere in one of these memories is the evidence. If I got in far enough, I could reconstruct it.
Everyone, welcome to the March 21st edition of the In the Now Show. This is your host, Slip Mode, along with
VR
and
Severed Dreams.
All right, Severed Dreams back in the house. Another good show for you this evening, morning, or whenever the heck you may be listening to this audio feed. All right. So, anything interesting been going on in your guys' life lately?
What's interesting is it is so absolutely status quo and normal that it's almost eerie.
Wow. That's when you know you're missing something.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, that deathly quiet. You know, that you're just like, this is way too quiet. When is something going to happen? Or is it so loud that I'm just not attuned to it and I've completely tuned it out?
Does it just make you want to scream?
No.
No. Okay. No. And Severed Dreams, how about yourself?
Well, we've been really busy back at the studio working on Haxor Volume 2, Fear of an 8-Bit Planet.
Cool, yeah. Is there anything else you want to tell us about that? Or?
Oh, it's coming along really well. Yeah, we got a molecule back as the Haxor's Advocate, the same girl from the first time. And we've upped our production quality considerably. New lights, and we even cranked out a script.
Sweet. So new iMovie, like new version? And
well, actually, we're using Final Cut Express 2 to do it, and it's really good software for that because you can actually use the audio filters. And in Final Cut Express 1, the audio filters were completely unusable because it wasn't real-time.
Yeah. Cool, yeah. All right. We actually had a pretty decent party with the local Phoenix 2600 group over at Severed Dreams' house, along with other people that showed up. Pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, it was a really good time. Everyone was really great, and it was great to have them over, and we can't wait to have them back next time around.
Sweet. So let's move on to information that everybody can pick up on. Well, this is things I've been reading lately, and I kind of knew this kind of stuff would happen. Plus, I saw some products that help law enforcement. Basically, we're talking about making it easier for people, basically the government or whoever else is interested and has enough power, to monitor other people through the Internet. Now, before, you know, they've gotten access to the phones and, you know, there's that myth, maybe truth. I don't really know totally a lot of facts about it, but according to a few people back in the 50s, you know, we were monitoring all sorts of telephone conversations, and we had the technology to see if somebody said words like communism and stuff like that, and then they, you know, began to be watched or, you know, listened to on a full-time basis. Or I heard that Australia actually has a system that's much like that, that monitors their, you know, telephone system, probably not all the time, but picks up random calls and tries to see if people are saying weird things, and then all of a sudden just keeps a tab on them, just like that, to get information. Well, there is a law that was put back out in 1994, I believe it was, called the CALEA, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, and that did a few things. Let's read here about how people are slowly complying. Actually, one of the largest companies for Internet providing is complying to this act to help government and local authorities be able to tap people. At least one cable operator is starting to comply with federal law that has long required telecommunication carriers to help police conduct electronic surveillance, according to a source familiar with the company's plans. Time Warner Cable is the first company, cable company to begin trying to adhere to the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. The source said cable companies are not yet required to comply with the 1994 wiretap law, but they see the writing on the wall. A Time Warner representative did not have an immediate comment about actually verifying that that is the truth, but that's what the source had said. Vernon Irvin, however, did assert that other cable companies are sure to follow. That's because the FBI has made public a far-reaching proposal to reach all broadband internet providers, including cable modem and digital subscriber line DSL companies, to restructure their networks to support easy wiretapping by police. The FBI's proposal would, for the first time, force cable carriers and providers that sell broadband to come under the jurisdiction of the 1994 CALEA, which further defined the already existing statutory obligations of telecom carriers to help police conduct electronic surveillance. Telephone companies that use their networks to sell broadband have already been following the CALEA rules. Because the eavesdropping proposal has the support of the Bush administration, the Federal Communications Commission is expected to take it very seriously. Last month, an FCC chairman, Michael Powell, stressed that the law enforcement access to IP-enabled communications is essential and that people must have access to communications infrastructure they need to protect our nation. So
now I really don't understand of like why these companies, you know, are buying this bill of goods about, you know, that these wiretaps are really protecting our country, you know, and they're actually going to be spending money and time and resources and doing such.
Yeah, I was reading the actual law here. I think that there is some provisions where they do give, like, tax credits and stuff like that if you're paying money to, you know, get these systems up to date.
But ultimately, it's not going to be, the provider that's going to be shelling out the cash. It's going to be the consumer. They're just going to pass the buck.
Right, and reap the tax benefits. Yep. Unless we go, you know, we don't want this, and we're not going to use your service.
But, you know, what happens when all the cable companies and all the phone companies do it? I mean, you know, what do you go back to? Dial up? Well, there's still the phone company, so I guess not.
Actually, that's when you go to radio packet transfer.
Oh, right, right. And then you're totally under the jurisdiction of the FCC at that point.
Yeah, you may not be monitored. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you can still do it. You can still do it encrypted, and, you know, it'd be a lot harder, but it's free and open anyway.
I thought it was illegal to send encrypted radio transmissions.
Oh, probably is.
I think you can do it with a license, correct?
I'm not sure about... Maybe on certain bands. I don't think so.
Oh.
Well, there's, you know, different types of... You know, like, if you're an expert, you can, you know, you have access to, like, exclusive bands that's just available to experts. And usually that's in Morse code, which is in type of encryption, so...
Well, yeah. I don't know. I guess the idea here is if you're going to do anything illegal, make sure you're doing it for another country.
But here's the thing about, like, the whole, like, you know, the feds going in, like, oh, look, we're the feds, and we need, like, a special room in the server so that we can monitor the Internet. Any bored 12-year-old can monitor all the transmissions that the average person does on the Internet. So, you know, what does the average bored 12-year-old have that the FBI doesn't have? That's what I want to know.
Immense amount more brain activity.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
but on the other thing, you know, the feds totally disappeared that ISP in Ohio about what a month and a half
Who
ago.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I suspect, you know, the paranoid part of me thinks that the timing of this whole thing going on right now is tied to that because, you know, they, you know, what happens if someone doesn't want to go along with the feds? They say, well, you know, we just disappeared them, and we can disappear you in out, oh, I don't know, 5 seconds. I mean, it's really heavy-handed out there, and it really sucks that people allow that to continue.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, the Patriot Act and, of course, the fight on terrorism. Plus, it's a time to where, you know, like the Patriot Act and other things where, you know, laws and things got squeezed in that probably shouldn't have gotten squeezed in just because now they have the
well,
illusion or the reason, I mean, of terrorism. I know that there are
the,
some
the emotional drive of patriotism of going, of either you're for this bill and you're patriotic, or you're not, or you're against this bill and you're one of them.
But there was nothing patriotic about it except for the name. I mean, most of the senators didn't even read it. I mean, it was just they voted on this massive sweeping legislation on the name, and that's not patriotism. That's like Nazism. That's fascism. I mean,
yeah, it really is. It's very un-American.
And I mean, you know, I think we have a word for, you know, people who, you know, disassemble the Constitution. I think it's treason.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the people committing treason are the ones who would be enforcing treason. I mean, you know, you can't, when the people who are supposed to punish people for being treasonous are the ones committing treason, then you're in trouble. And I'm not saying that's what's happening now, but I'm definitely not saying that that's not what's happening now. So
right. Yeah, there's amazing power in the social order of, like, the best definition of a clique that I can come up with is everybody who's in that clique knows who is not a part of that clique, and they usually hate everybody who's not in that clique.
See,
and so it's very easy to get stuff passed in that, you know, that all the beliefs in that clique, all the ones that are expressed, are usually very similar. Because if it's dissimilar enough, it's very easy to go, well, you're not one of us then. Get out.
Where the absolute worst is what happens when everyone there knows it's a bad idea, but they're all afraid of what they say if they were to admit it. So they all go along with the bad idea, even though, you know, because, you know, they think that everyone else might disagree.
Right. That's exactly what happens.
My thoughts on it, though, is that I think there is some need to some of the things that were in the Patriot Act. I mean, there is some need for, you know, police and officials to have access to certain things. I mean, obviously, we want to get the bad guys. We just don't want to abuse the good guys in the process. You know, and like we've mentioned before, the Patriot Act has been used against people in non-terrorist-related issues. And, you know, in some areas, in my opinion, you know, it does sweep, you know, pretty far as to stripping away lots of rights. But I think, you know, I don't want to down the total idea of at least giving some support to when you're trying to find the bad guys.
Well, know? I'll is totally... It, oh,
is it ever right to...
I know what you're going to say.
Is to strip away a right.
Or you said give a little bit of your freedom away for
right.
security?
Yeah, or is yeah. just to essentially bow down on a right or to give it up. When is that ever right? It's kind of like saying, you know, if we kill one innocent to catch six, you know, to punish six, you know, wrongs, is that right?
And that's not what America's about. I mean, America, you know, our entire justice system is based on the idea that it's better to let 100 scumbags go free than to wrongfully imprison one, you know, innocent man or woman or child. And that doesn't seem to be what's been going on anytime recently, as far as I can remember. I mean, it seems more about, you know, get them all and let God sort them out.
Yeah, what you think about it is this country was founded on liberty and freedom. That's what we should be loving most, is our liberty and our freedom.
I know, but I do believe that there should be something. There's got to be something. You just, not everyone can walk around with liberty and freedom and then let people trample over our liberty and freedom by abusing the liberty and freedom that we gave them.
Well, it's true that there do need to be some form of rules. I mean, you know, I don't throw a party without, you know, creating 10 rules. But what was provided by the Patriot Act that law enforcement didn't already have? I mean, you know, they didn't gain anything that they knew that they needed. They just, you know, went to the candy store and cashed in all their wish lists because...
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's how it works anyways when you bring anything to law, is that you bring everything you can to begin with and then let people say it's easier to take away from it to people, to what they'll agree with. You know what I mean? They just, what I'm trying to say is you bring the law, you bring all this crap, and you try to pass everything that you can because you're worried that some things are not going to get passed. But in this case, it just swept right through. Everything did.
Well, all I know is that the Patriot Act has affected each and every American, but I don't think it's touched Bin Laden one bit.
You know, that's a very, very...
Because he communicates using
statement.
A gay boy. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, actually, he uses foot carrier now. They suspect.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I don't want to do... I don't know. You guys may have different opinions from me. I don't know. But I don't want... In my personally, I don't want to totally bash certain things that have to do with some sort of monitoring, because I do believe that... I mean, if I had to do that for a living, I'd be like, hey, I need some tools here, man. Like, I can't do crap. There's nothing here that allows me to hunt these people down that are actually doing bad things to free citizens and good people. So,
Well, I think one of the worst things that could be done, you know, to me would be, you know, having the government listen in on, you know, conversations between me and my girlfriend.
Well, yeah.
And
that's what, and they should be using things like probable cause.
And they've
if
already
that's done.
They've already demonstrated. I mean, you know, our rights have been completely trampled on. I mean, it's still okay to a point because we're still able to speak how we're doing right now. But, you know, how much longer will that continue if, you know, the FBI can just monitor whatever internet communication they feel like?
Well, you know, I'm just starting to think about it, is we're not really talking about, you know, like, we have the freedom of expression, but we don't have the right of anonymity. That whatever we say and whatever we do, we can be held accountable for.
We do have certain rights for anonymity.
No, you. Well, recently there's been a whole bunch of court cases and whatnot that have ruled that you can't. You know, they can arrest you on probable cause if you wear a mask out in public or whatnot. So if you can't be anonymous in public and if you can't be anonymous in private, you know, I mean, the way that the machine works is they just capture every bit of information forever. And, you know, in the days and the weeks and the months and the years of a person's life, you know, how many times do we say and type things that, you know, if you strung it all together, you could create like some, you could create whatever you want out of it.
Well, yeah, the way the law and everything is designed is that they're able to do exactly what they want. Like, you know, there's penalties for things like some misdemeanor charge. You can have up to a year in jail. Do they give out a year in jail? No, but they want to have the ability to be able to do it. It's a big playing game of, and then they put certain loopholes in, you know, and then there's only certain people that know about the loopholes, so you got to pay those people to help you. It's all obviously for money, and, you know, actually, if you want to get out of jail, there's a guy that had to go to jail for, I think, a DUI, or he got caught with marijuana, and the state here, this is from, you know, what I heard personally, is that they said, hey, $70,000 and you're out. And he gave up 70 grand and didn't have to go to jail.
But the it's completely one-sided because, you know, the three of us can sit here and we can document, you know, what the government's doing. And it won't even be facts in dispute. It'll be, yes, this was a lie. Yes, this was fraud. Yes. And, I mean, you know, neither side will dispute that wrongdoing had occurred and laws have been broken. Yet, we can't hold them accountable anymore. The best we can do is try and vote them out a few years later. But, you know, I really, you know, I
don't
know,
think
with
you
the
could
have machine.
I don't think we could have held them accountable in the 30s.
Yeah,
I don't think so. You know, if you're in power, you're going to do what you would like to be able to do, and that power means the laws, the systems, the branches, or whatever that they're a part of to help back people up. I mean, it's not the U.S. government. You know, it's any nation or anybody that has power. If they want to do it, they're going to do it, regardless if it's a capitalist society, a communist society, any society. It's just going to happen regardless.
And that's, it's all about power, and power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it's all about, you know, what level of corruption are we willing to deal with?
I hope that we don't get too conspiratorial thinking on this, is because, you know, we can go monitor people if we want to. And they can monitor us. And, of course, the way it works is the government has way more rights over its people than the people do. That's always been in every government, everywhere.
Well, except for when we started. Then, you know, the people actually had way more power than the government did.
Because they didn't have
any resources.
They didn't have billion-dollar companies with interests. They didn't have, you know, internet. They didn't have radio. They didn't have anything.
Exactly. Over time, you know, it's like if you watch what's happening in Europe right now with the EU, you know, they don't have a European Union police force, but now they're starting to elect, you know, they're starting to appoint terrorism czar, and then 20 or 30 years later, you'll get, like, you know, a small department, and then 20 or 30 years, I mean, these mechanisms don't happen overnight. They're the aggregate of, you know, just a little accumulation here and there, and that's why it's so important to challenge and to resist and to change things like the Patriot Act, because every little bit of consolidation just adds to the total amount of power that's there, and that makes it more possible for the people who have power to wield it over those who don't.
Yeah, and I totally agree, and that's exactly what I think we talk about on this show, and, you know, certain things that guests and VR and other people that have been here, and I'm sure yourself, when we talk about things, you know, yeah, I'm pretty level-headed, and I think everyone else in here has always had very good opinions about certain subjects. So we tackle it one subject at a time, you know. The only thing is that for me personally, I'm not ever going to try to change or tell anybody to think differently in this room or outside of it. But is I do have major disagreements with things that the Patriot Act and the government do on a daily basis. I am not a I'm not even a, you know, some people's I guess by saying I'm not a Republican is saying one thing. I'm not Democrat either. I'm actually an independent. But, you know, that there are specific needs for people to find people that are abusing things. And what level those needs are, I don't know if I can answer all those questions. I think I can have a good idea. And sometimes you need those things, but you may not need to use it. And it all depends on certain situations and things like that. So I'm not about anybody that... I'm not about agreeing with anything that abuses anyone's rights, imposes any sort of sentence that's too high upon someone, or makes somebody prosecuted under something that they didn't do. I won't agree with any of that.
But here's the big issue. Here's the big question. I mean, you know, going back to the idea that, you know, the Patriot Act probably didn't affect Bin Laden one bit, but affects, you know, over 300 million Americans. We already have the ability to
it may not affected him personally, but it probably affected some of his people here.
I should hope so. But we already have the ability to let loose a military firestorm that can annihilate large areas
of the world.
Yeah, that's the ultimate Trump card. So why do we need, you know, all these specialized additional things? I mean, we already, you know, if we know that there's something wrong, you know, we can go and we can annihilate it completely.
But
I mean, things like this.
That'd be too extreme, you know?
But we do that all the time. I mean, and I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying we have the ultimate Trump card. Things like the Patriot Act, things like the wiretapping stuff, that's not about them. It's about us. Because, you know, the government can't just come and, you know, firebomb Phoenix, I should hope.
Yeah,
but things like this make it impossible for. I mean, if they can monitor whoever they feel like monitoring, no private group can organize. No private group can communicate. No private group can do anything. Now, yeah, you don't want Al Qaeda to do it, but what about Greenpeace? What about, you know, the Democrats?
Well,
what about libertarians?
If they don't renew the Patriot Act, a federal judge will have to agree that it's okay for the government to do it. You know what I mean? So you have to trust the federal judge to make the right decision on if they can tap somebody. Now, the Patriot Act totally strips that, and it just allows you to bypass the judge and just go straight to it pretty much.
Well, I don't think we're going to have to worry too much about the judges, because now they're making the big case about, you know, reducing judges' powers over these so-called activist judges that are supposed to be the greatest threat to, you know, the world.
Well, yeah. And I mean, that's, you know...
Actually, they're all really, you know, like, wanting to challenge the power of... You know, at that being.
Which, of course, is their job.
Exactly. There's a question, what is the system working or not?
I don't know. I'm just concerned that, you know, today we say, okay, well, you know, these internet wiretaps are okay some of the time. And then what happened, you know, 5 years down the road, it's like, okay, well, you know, these crazy judges have gone too far. And then, you know, 30 years from now, we're going to be wondering whether it's okay to go out past the 9 o'clock curfew for all American citizens.
Well, I'm under the firm belief that if it wasn't America making these mistakes, it'd be whatever the other biggest power is in the world. Whoever has the biggest power is the one that burdens the most things and usually runs, you know, a very inefficient system for the people. You know, right now it's a consumer's heyday. It's be happy, consume, and drive your car, and don't worry about what's going on, you know? You know, but if it wasn't us, it's going to be another country. It's going to be somebody else. It's just going to happen regardless. Like, just watch Japanime. I mean, that's like, you know, those ideas are pretty good social concepts of what the future is going to be like. And, you know, every big nation is going to be monitoring the hell out of their people, and the people are going to be trying to dodge the others. And if they don't conform, they'll be out in the street. And, yeah, it's been written about in books forever. And it's
well, yeah, those things have occurred, and they will keep occurring. But it's our social responsibility in order to challenge them and up, you know, and hold, you know, is speak our mind.
Yeah, and I think I definitely do that. So what I'm saying is that you have to really try to balance everything out. And some things, you know, you can try your life on trying to make happen, and if it, you can be happy that you tried, and it's good that you try. I'm not saying don't try, but if it doesn't happen, you know, you gotta move on in your life and try to deal with it as best you can.
Actually, you try to do it again.
Well, and again and again and again. It just depends. Like, you know, you got to take care of yourself, your family, your friends. You got to have a life. You know, it just depends on what your mission is. But I'm saying that...
In our high process world, it's very difficult to juggle all those processes.
Yeah, it's really hard. So, I mean, everybody, I think, should try to do what they can when they can. And I think, you know, that's what we try to do on this show.
That's right.
And in my own life, you know, like, who do I vote for president? You know, that's a whole other thing. You know, I haven't picked who I want to vote for. I'm not happy with any of them.
Brown for president.
Yeah, and then nobody votes for Brown. Then you waste all your votes for Brown. Then somebody else gets in office. Yeah, it's a big thing.
But still, if you vote for somebody who you think is going to win and not who you want to be in office, you are just as, you know, you're guilty for whatever they do.
No, you're not.
Why? Because you could have, you know, thwarted that. And, you know, by voting for who you wanted to be. Because you actually didn't speak your mind. You spoke what you thought everybody else was going to want it.
To take the lesser of two evils, yes.
When you can actually vote for who you want, and yes, you might lose. He might lose. But you know what? He might actually win if everybody actually voted for who they would actually like to have there.
Be Mickey Mouse.
I would disagree with that. Not with Mickey Mouse, but with the idea that I think our current system of government is incompatible with it, because we don't have originally, or you know, in days gone by, the parties used to sort things out, and they used to, you know, be the mechanism that allowed, you know, the qualified candidates to show up. I mean, I would imagine, you know, 40 or 50 years ago, everyone that made it through the party nomination process had some business being there. But now it doesn't seem like that at all. Now it seems like strange, you know, robot figurehead or not. And it's like, you know, now you get like one shot to cast your vote, and it's not really so much about who you want; it's about who you don't want.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a lot better if, like, we got, like, I don't know, 10 or 20 candidates and had, like, five rounds of voting where we just voted them off the debate. And then, you know, whichever two or three that were left over, flip a coin, because it really doesn't matter at that point.
See, I think that instead of just having one Democratic nominee, and the Republicans, they never have another Republican run against a Republican, why don't they put more people on television, you know, when they're doing the debates? They put, like, the final two... Or final three, you know, they don't give enough limelight to anybody else.
Well, that's funny, because that's the television networks. They're, you know, the networks themselves, they have their own interests, and they exclude people. Like, you know, in 2000, you know, Nader was a viable candidate.
Yeah, they didn't let him on TV.
Yeah, they never saw him. Or they threatened to have him arrested, you know, like when he went to the debate in Massachusetts.
Ridiculous. All right, well, let's talk about some other stuff, because I think we've covered that pretty well. Of course, we could always talk forever or do a whole show on stuff like that. All right. Well, this isn't just as interesting as what we just talked about, but Intel is going to be kind of doing what AMD does. They're going to be now naming their processors after their performance and their speed.
Well, that's a whole lot more like usable and informative.
Yeah, except for the you know, like AMD 2200s or whatever, but they run at like they're 2 gigahertz or... theirs is misleading, actually, which is what they did because they couldn't keep up with the speed of Intel, even though I do believe they make a better processor. Yeah. But yeah, so they're going to be doing that. And also, we've talked about this plenty of times, that there's Asian countries out there that are shooting to get IPv6 rolling because... well, they've got a whole bunch of people that need IP addresses, and now it's actually down to a set of years that they're supposed to be, or the year that they're going to be finally rolling out. IPv6, which is the upgraded protocol from IPv4 that basically runs the Internet and handles all the traffic, allows for tons and tons more IP addresses than what the previous IPv4 had. And basically, the rollout is not easy, you know. But what they're doing is they're shooting for 2005 for China and Japan, 2007 for Taiwan and 2011 for South Korea. So it's kind of interesting because they're going to be rolling that out, and we're going to be sitting by the wayside here over in the States. IPv6 also does do a lot of new things that IPv4 didn't. Integrate some things like IPsec, some of the features that IPsec has, you know, making sure that the destination is really the destination. It does support encryption and all sorts of other goodies out there that, hey, might be able to help you hide yourself from the government. Hey, you know what? That's a good point to make, is that encrypt your email, encrypt your traffic, you know, try to do things as anonymously as possible. They may tap the ISP, but, you know, if you're sending encrypted data out, you know, develop your own encryption standard or use one that takes a really long time to break. And, you know, they've got some pretty good computers over there at the government, but they might be like, this traffic is just too much for us to decrypt, move on to somebody else and decrypt their traffic. So, you know.
Or what's even more interesting is if it's too much, they'll only take the really encrypted stuff.
Possibly.
And let all the other stuff kind of go, you know, look at it, and whatever.
And then
fly by.
What we'll do is we'll skip all these stupid methods and have of technological ways, and then what we'll do is we'll go back to old-fashioned ways of sending information.
Like the mail, which they can't read.
Yeah.
Unless there's an accident and the envelope happens to accidentally be punctured.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you actually know if it's been read or not.
Fair enough. If you know what the envelope was that the original person put it into.
Yeah.
See, that's what's really neat about wax stamps.
Well, wax stamps might break off in transit.
Or something similar where it's actually like you stamp it with your mark.
Well, how do you get the mark to the person in the first place?
On the envelope?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, say I have a friend in Amsterdam and I want to send mail back and I want to use this mark. Well, short of me going to Amsterdam or him coming to me, how do I get the mark over to him?
Oh, you can send it on the first letter.
But if I send it on the first letter and the government's watching the mail, they can take the mark and they can replace it with their own.
Now,
you have to be a pretty bad criminal to...
yeah, but
too, man in the middle.
But, well, they could do that on any time.
Exactly.
So, but at the same time, is it's just another level.
Well, but
I know you're going to an extremist view, but he's got some good ideas.
Oh no, I'm not knocking it. I mean, the problem with cryptography and things like that is if you get too good, they just send someone with a pipe, and you know they just do some rubber hose cryptography on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Biometrics with the hands. I hope that never takes off because if someone really wants your credentials.
Oh yeah, what do you think they're going to do with the hand?
Well,
yeah.
They even took there was a study where they took like 50 biometrics products, and one of the things that they could do for the thumbprint was that they just put a little bit of hot air going. The thumbprint came back. They took a white piece of paper, pushed it down on the thumbprint, and it worked.
Cute.
Ooh, is that nifty?
Yeah, and then for the retina ones, they had all sorts of stuff. I forget what it was, but they got past some of the retinal ones and stuff like that. So I don't know, you know, how well these products are.
Or there'll be a trade in eyes, like a minority report.
But for the sake of argument, we all agree that do your best to avoid the man, put the man in check, and live a free life, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you could take the argument of, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you got nothing to hide. But that's no fun.
I got like 7 computers in my room. I could be like trying to like, you know, crack some government encryption, you know?
Well, it's not about, you know, not having anything to hide. I do have something to hide. When I'm talking to my girlfriend, you know, that's private.
Yeah, when I talk to my boyfriend, I don't want anyone to know. No, I'm just joking.
Hey, we didn't want to know that either.
Yeah. Now everyone knows. It's out. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, here's something that you can do in your spare time while avoiding the government and staying anonymous. You can overclock your Genesis, which is something that this man apparently did, and which is kind of interesting because that was the problem with the, well, not the Genesis so much. It was with the Sega CD. The problem was that actually somebody needs to overclock the Super NES because that was only a 3 megahertz processor, and it had way more graphics going on than the Sega did. But basically, the original speed on the Sega Genesis Mega Drive system was 7.6 megahertz, and he did a few different clocking schemes. But he did get it up to 16 megahertz, and he said no glitches except for Sonic 2 Special Stage. So, if you are a big video game fan, go out there and Google Genesis overclocking, and if you want your games to run with no slowdowns on the Sega CD or anything else, because I think it does help out the Sega CD because they use joint processing, I believe. Go ahead and follow those directions. No warranties included. If you blow up your Genesis, get another one on eBay.
Well, heck, who's going to find the Genesis still under warranty?
Well, yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, if you blow up your Genesis using what I just said or what these people will show you, don't flame us on the forums. All right. Now, this is kind of an interesting story that I was, as soon as I read it, I was thinking of Back to the Future, the one where they were using garbage to power the
Mr. Fusion.
Yeah. So, basically, what this is here is an article about a few people that are doing that now. Except they're saying using it for power. So, unless that was an electric car, then they could do it for that. The waste you flush down the toilet could one day power the lights in your home. So say researchers at Pennsylvania State University, who last week, which is in mid-March, revealed that they have developed an electricity generator fueled by sewage. Even better, the device breaks down the harmful organic matter as it generates the electricity, so it does the job of a sewage treatment plant at the same time. Penn State's microbial fuel cell, MFC, harnesses chemical techniques similar to those the body uses to break down food, but diverts the electrons liberated in the reactions to produce electrical energy. There are extraordinary benefits of this technology. It can be made into work. Many developing countries urgently need sewage processing plants, for example, but they are prohibitively expensive, largely because they use so much power. Offsetting this cost by producing electricity at the same time could make all the difference.
Oh, yeah. Like, think about off-grid housing.
Totally. Well, recently there was some talk on, I think, Slashdot or whatever, about the farms, like the cow farms and whatnot. They produce a lot of animal waste, and they've been deriving power from that as well.
Oh, pigs. Pig farms. Oh.
Oh, yeah, that's what they use in Mad Max.
And
yeah, they just use the hydrogen, right? And use that to make electricity.
Well, the methane.
The methane, yeah, hydrogen. That's water. What am I talking about?
Yeah, that's a really slow process. If they've actually got this digestion process down, that's amazing. Things speed it up to actually like a commercial level.
Yeah, usually when I read those types of articles, it's like they made the initial discovering to make a small, system that works. So I don't know on the larger scale, but obviously more research and time will definitely bring that to the next level.
Yeah, it could just take like 200 pounds of waste to make like a jewel.
Yeah. But if the cost of the system wasn't that much and you could make it back with it, it's like switching over to voice over IP over normal telephony. All right, this is something that was interesting. Tom had put an article on the forums about, a post on the forums about what's a way to deal with distributed denial of service or denial of service. I kind of gave a reply, and then there's this DDoS tool that this company has launched, and this is what it does. Don't know if I totally agree with exactly what it does. Seems like it does two methods, which is kind of one of the methods I spoke about on the forums there on Slipnet. Symbiota, Texas-based security firm, in preparing to launch corporate defense system at the end of March that can fight back against distributed denial of service and hacker attacks by launching a counterstrike. That's what I don't agree with.
Ooh, yeah, that's
absolutely insane.
Yeah, it doesn't help. I mean, you're DOSing people that are, playing solitaire for Pete's sakes and Yahoo Pool. In advance of the product launch, Symbiota's president, Michael Irwin, I'm just kidding, and its chief scientist, Paco Nathan, have outlined a set of rules of engagement for information warfare, which they say should be part of the corporate security policy to help companies determine the exact response to an incoming attack. Now, I can understand options for response. Denial of service is not an option for the response, I think.
But they actually use the term information war or internet war.
Oh, yeah. Well, here, let me say the rest of this. Until today, security solutions have been totally passive in nature. Merely erecting defense walls around the perimeter of an enterprise network is not adequate deterrent, said Irwin, who argues to have a complete defense in place, offensive tactics must be employed. The company says it based its theory on the military doctrine of necessity and proportionality, which means the response to an attack is proportionate to an attack's ferocity. According to the company, a response could range from profiling and blacklisting upstream providers, which is kind of what I agree with, or it could de-escalate to launch a distributed denial of service counterstrike. Now, there's no benefit to putting more crap on the on the internet.
It brings about the whole thing of, like, from Mahatma Gandhi, of if you use an eye for an eye, the whole world is blind. That's a proportionate response, and yet the whole world will be blind. And so if anybody does this, you know, like attack back, the whole internet is just going to, like, explode. Everybody's going to be attacking everybody very shortly.
Perhaps, but the most obvious reason why this is an incredibly stupid idea is any 12-year-old can say, wow, I can forge packets. I can make myself appear like anyone else in the world. So, I don't know, I'll just pretend to be from FBI.gov and, you know, attack this website that has some automated robo fight back defense system, military, whatever.
And an issue.
And then they fight they fight a third target for me. I mean, it's just, the internet isn't good at that sort of thing. It's just not good at really knowing, you know, where it's coming from or what you're doing. I mean, like, one of the best ways to do something in a way that doesn't point directly at you is, you fire it off at the target, and then the target fires back some information to another machine, and you just have a machine sniffing in between. So it's going elsewhere, and everyone's following the red herring, but meanwhile, you just sort of siphon off a little bit of information in between. You know, nothing's pointing at you. And with some sort of mad, insane, artificial, robotic response, that's so open for abuse.
Yeah. See, the idea that I thought of is that basically two ideas, and it's kind of like another software. There's spyware, there's Norton antivirus, antivirus solutions, and now there's your DDoS solution. And it's a set of rules that you can install on your client system. So if you actually have something inside of there, like, all these cable and DSL people that have got broken into because no one's patched, if you have one of those problems where a virus or something is trying to send out, if it's noticing by a set of rules some strange activity, it will basically stop itself from sending out. So that's like a defensive measure that the home users or people can do on their own. Obviously, what if that program gets disabled? It's an ongoing battle with disabling firewalls and Norton antivirus solutions and stuff, and virus solutions, stuff like that. But basically, one is a client thing to deal with that headache, which it tries to stop itself from sending out, and then gives the user a warning, hey, you're doing this out, scan your system for viruses or whatnot. And then on the second end would be a set of rules that an ISP could carry that I think generally would be passive in nature, but if a user knew that they could call up and be like, hey, I think I'm getting a denial of service, can you check into it? And they're like, yes, you are, and we have this software here that's basically going to automatically stop those IP addresses for a period of 3 days or whatever the rules are from sending traffic down to you.
Yeah, DDoS is a pain. It's a really tough one.
Yeah.
I run porn sites. I encounter that daily. Usually it's distributed, password hacking. You can deny the IP, but it's pointless because you've got like 1,000 IPs,
Yeah, if the software could handle it, it was on like, not in your home, but if it was on like a facility that could possibly handle it, it's not gonna stop it completely, but it's just another tool in the attack of the defense or whatever you want to say. But
well, the best way that you're gonna be able to deal with that sort of thing that I can imagine, and I'm not, a complete and total expert, but really, it relies upon signatures, because you can't use the IP anymore. You can't use the location, even if it's pretending to be.
Because they could spoof it as they want to.
Exactly. And
then limit real IPs. Yeah. So it requires some thought.
It's a tough one. That's a good example of the type of thing that we do have, real world remedies for it. That's why, you know, people get sued for, you know, DDoSing. That's why people get thrown in, I guess they get thrown in jail now for it, too. I think it's kind of silly to throw someone in jail for, you know, some packets, but...
I do agree that unless they were actually halting a company's business...
Well, I run a company, and, you know, I mean, it... Yeah, sure, you know, I work really hard.
Maybe not jail, maybe fines. It depends on the level.
I mean, it's just, you know, someone knocks
me
off...
Well, in that case, it would be, like, financial retribution. Like, you cost me $2,000 for, you know, inhibiting business for, you know, a couple hours.
Right.
Well, reimburse me for it.
That's much more appropriate. I mean, you know, when I'm sitting there and something's happening to my server, yeah, I'm angry. But, I mean, come on, you know, throw someone in jail for... I mean, that's just insanity. And that's, you know, that's an abuse of power. I mean, you know, Sony shouldn't have any more right to put someone in jail when they get angry than I do. And, you know, I'm one person, so I can stop myself from being unreasonable. But, you know, the larger these companies get, the more, you know, just mass insanity just erupts. You know, it's either some guy on the other side of the computer terminal or it's my board position, right? So
yeah.
Send him to jail for the rest of his life because we got, you know, we make $1 million a day. We can do that.
Yeah. And usually I've noticed, though, that a lot of people do this in any case, even if it's like a civil case, like a you know, it's a person of the public or it's a corporate case or whatever it is. Whenever somebody goes to the courtroom, it's the same thing with the law thing I was talking about. They bring the most abundant of things that they think they could possibly prove because they might, though some certain things might get stripped down, so they want to be left with a few things. But that's some of the things that happened with Kevin Mitnick, is that they came with the most absurd amounts of damage, you know, to be able to pass it. And then also maybe to, I don't know, get some tax breaks or, I don't know, you know, it's pretty crazy. What I'm saying is that sometimes the public defends itself. Wow, my CD player is wigging out. That's all right. Sometimes the public defends itself against the government by doing the exact same tactic. And then now they've brought it into play. You know what I mean? Like if you're suing a company like, this coffee burnt my freaking leg. I need $3 million, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but they're still like dancing around in their leg that works just fine.
Well, that, you know, that just comes down to... you know, to dishonesty, to lies. I mean,
well, yeah.
You know, any time that you have society, if people choose to, you know, to lie and to cheat, and you know, I mean, that's a whole new set of problems.
Yeah, definitely. So it's, you know, eventually things are going to spiral off, and there'll be, you know, we'll explore all these options and abuse everything that could be possibly abused, and. Maybe even
and legislate it to protect ourselves from our abuses.
Well, it'll be so insane one day that we're going to have to all start over again with something else.
Yeah. And socialism.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
That's what it's going to be, more than likely. And maybe. Then we'll take over another planet. Because then we'll have complete access to all the world's resources.
Well,
and there'll be no strife.
I think what happens...
And we'll have to go... And take over, you know, and search out new resources and new strife on other planets.
See, I think each planet, though, is going to run things its own way. So you're like, I like how Mars deals with what they do, so I'm going to go over there. I'm like, dude, you got to come to Jupiter, man. We've got, like, it's much better over here.
Yeah, they'll just be different states.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think initially it'll be technological limitations. You know, either, you know, the other planets will rely upon Earth so much that... You know, they'll have to do what Earth says, or they'll be so far away and so inaccessible that they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But once all those issues are resolved, it's just going to be more of the same. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
there'll be people out there like pirates on their rogue spaceship. You know what I mean? why am I forgetting it? Oh, Cowboy Bebop or stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, as long as people are happy. That's really what it's all about. Trying to keep people happy. All this laws and all this stuff, you know, it's once the population gets so big, it just turns into a much larger game than us humans ourselves can even properly manage.
Yeah, really it is.
And then it's all about power and keeping people happy after that. And they're like, well, we can't manage it, but let's see if we can keep ourselves happy and have enough power to be happy.
It's just riding the wave of chaos.
Yeah, but I don't know. That sounds kind of depressing. It doesn't sound very, you know,
you know, like striving upward and onward and like for the righteous good.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like it's going to all degrade into this quagmire of carnivalistic consumption.
Yeah, but those ideas will always stand true, no matter what. I do believe when there's a right, and it will exist forever, you know. And those types of things will obviously be said again and again and again, great quotes and ideas and, you know, leaders.
But at the same time, our whole, like, system of rights is a social construction that we created. Actually, our founding fathers really created and set forth in the Constitution, and we've been abiding by it, but really, is it written, you know, it's not written in nature of you will have this right and you will have this right.
Sarah Dreams, what are you thinking about here?
Well, what does the Constitution have that a gang of thugs with M16s doesn't? You know, I mean, right now we rely upon the idea that, you know, the people in the military are, you know, our friends and our neighbors and our sons and our daughters and whatnot. And that's a strong thing. I mean, that's what keeps me from being, you know, totally afraid every night. But at the same time, you know, with all this insanity that's been just, you know, heaped on us over the, you know, I mean, there's always been insanity and there's always going to be insanity, but there's, you know, there's insanity and then there's madness. And I think recently we've had a lot more madness than insanity. And I think, you know, I don't think it's unsalvageable. I think, you know, the society that we have, not just in America, but in many parts of the world, is a good thing. And I think that, you know, the individual can make a difference. And
oh, yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right.
I was thinking about the other day of, does madness come after anger? And if it does, you know, then really madness comes out of fear.
So would you say that fear leads to anger, and then anger leads to hatred? And I guess we'd have to ask Yoda.
Oh, okay.
Because he is the master.
You know, from the, what was it, the first Star Wars, you know, the episode one, where he does that thing, the fear leads to anger, and anger leads...
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't remember that. All right.
Right on.
We all were just mentally digressing right there. All right. Well, here's some more information. This has been a very interesting show. I'm very glad things have gone how they have. Yeah. This is basically just more information about the fact that Linux is jumping on Microsoft in the server field. And won't spend too much time on it. But just to give you some numbers here. It says Linux versus Microsoft. And these quotes, I don't know if this is just all Linux, you know, or where they got these numbers. But for the fourth quarter revenue of 2003, Linux had $960 million in the bank. And Microsoft had $3.9 billion. Not bad. I mean, they almost have a billion there. Their growth for quarter four was actually 63.1% for Linux and only 16.1% for Microsoft. So it just shows here in 2001, Microsoft was up to 50% growth and Linux was down to 22%, but numbers have dramatically shifted as time goes. So we are seeing the adoption of things that are more beneficial to people in many ways.
I'm sorry. What does that mean? I mean...
Oh, like growth. Like they're buying more of Linux versus Microsoft, I guess.
Oh, like that's, you know, maybe some of the vendors, like, you know, IBM sells some Linux products. And
yeah.
Okay, because it's like, yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around the idea of...
exactly,
you know,
what that means.
You know, Linux isn't a company, you know, I mean, like...
You're right, yeah.
You know, it's like...
It's kind of a movement, in a way.
Well, and also, Microsoft kind of can only go down, really, if you think about it.
Yeah,
it's pretty much saturated the market, and it's just going to sell upgrades.
They should charge royalties for all the DDoS.
Yeah.
That'll become their new revenue stream.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, give us certificates for dealing with having to buy three other products to maintain our systems. Okay. And, yeah, just more info on Microsoft basically trying to enter the $2 billion market, $2 billion market of search engines, and they want to include their own search engine just because they want to. And also, we've talked about this on the last show. Microsoft could lose the media player in the European Union tangle. Basically, the European Union is asked to have the media player removed because, hey, you don't need it. And it doesn't. It's kind of like the browser wars where they stuck Internet Explorer on there and kicked all the other possible media players out of the system, and even corrupting some of the other, you know, like Norton's and stuff. Norton's, I keep saying that tonight. Plus, I don't like their company very much. Netscape, I mean. Okay, and also, they may ask Microsoft to include other rival media players with Windows to make the products as easy to use for users as Microsoft's own music and video players. So just trying to get them to play fair ball because they're, you know, integrating a lot of other things that people could be selling. I mean, operating system is there to run your programs. You're not supposed to include other programs in it. You know, maybe Notepad, but eh, it's a text editor. And this is kind of interesting, talking more about some of Microsoft spreading itself all across the toasted bread. Microsoft has been mailing free copies of its pricey Office productivity software to government employees, but CNETnews.com has learned that at least two federal agencies are warning recipients of these products to return the gifts or risk violating federal ethnic policies.
Yeah, that sounds like a bribe to me.
It is. Since the launch of Office 2003 last year, Microsoft has given out tens of thousands of free copies of its flagship software, which retails for about $500 to workers of its biggest companies. The giveaway was expanded to government workers this year, but Ethics Office, offices at the Department of Interior and Department of Defense have said that the offers constitute unauthorized gifts and must be returned. The Department of the Army went to a further step by calling on Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates to stop sending the software to Army personnel. We ask that you cease immediately that the mailing of free software and other types of gifts to the Department of Army personnel. Deputy General Counsel Matt Harris said on February 19th, letter seen by CNETnews.com, your offer of a free software places our employees and soldiers at jeopardy of unknowingly committing a violation of ethics rules and regulations to which they have taken an oath to uphold.
See, I got two things on that one. First, you know, because it's Bill Gates, because it's Microsoft doing it, you know, the military just sort of asked them to stop. I mean, what would happen if we took, like, I don't know, like 50,000 copies of 2600 magazine and mail it to military personnel? I bet we'd be arrested.
Yeah, probably.
But wouldn't it be fun?
Wouldn't it be fun?
And second, like, isn't, you know, what was it, like 5,000 copies of their software? Or what was the number
that
they gave
out? I think it was tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Doesn't that sort of make it, like, almost free software-ish? I mean, doesn't that sort of, like, you know, all the propaganda that they say about free software destroying the world,
oh, yeah,
and here they are giving out, like, you know, what, you know, 500, you know, like half a billion dollars worth of software? I mean, you know, hypocrites.
Yeah.
And it makes it really, you know, less value, you know, now when I look at that $500, you know, plastic disc, I'm going to think of it even, you know, worth less.
Well, the way I look at it is that it's actually a direct sign that Microsoft is worried about open source alternatives. And it's kind of funny because they're trying to find new methods with dealing with the fact that open source software is a viable solution in many cases. It's going to continually get better, and it's also free. So, you know, and you can still make money in that arena of open source software, as we saw the $960 million. But the thing is that it's kind of, I don't know the exact word to use, but it's kind of a desperate act. It's a desperate act to try to get them back, and eventually, or to continue their market share. But eventually, you know, once, if Linux keeps going, and I believe it will, they're going to have to really rethink things. And I think they're very fearful of that. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to slow the bell curve of when they're going to have to make their major decision of how they're going to have to change, otherwise, you know, just tank.
Yeah, because they really don't have anywhere to go but down, really.
Yeah.
And especially because they make their product even less usable for everybody else. Like, they limit, you know, the programs that they don't want to have run on their operating system that they don't have any financial benefit from. So it's really, they're constricting what you can do. And that's against the whole liberty principle.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show. Let me just wrap up with a few final news items. Put it in the short version. Basically, it's been a common thing lately to where virus creators are sharing their code on the internet, and many people are now creating very many versions of their viruses, and it's just spreading lots of havoc. I think for the month of March, I think they've had the most viruses released ever within a month. And most of it was the addition of every one of the subsequent versions that came along with it.
Do you also think that that might be correlated with the school of virus creation in Canada?
I doubt it.
Okay.
But they have... it might be Cisco trying to sell more of their products. You know, who knows? The recent worms, Netsky and Beagle, each have had at least 14 versions. So Big F was the most recent and dangerous version out of all of them that they released. My Doom and all sorts of other stuff. And the problem is that anybody, including this one 18-year-old that got a hold of the, variant, he made a variant of the blaster worm, you know, got busted and, is facing some pretty steep charges. So that's not cool, but it's becoming more popular. I think, I don't know exactly why, you know, people enjoy continually creating viruses. I know before it was kind of like, hey, your software sucks, but now it just seems like a heyday.
Well, it's a heyday because the Windows software really does suck.
I
run Mac OS 10. Virus? I don't even think there are any OS 10 viruses out there. You know, one day I'm sure someone will maybe possibly dream one up. But then again, you know, unless it finds some exploit, it's not going to be able to hit root. You know, okay, my user account gets nailed. But,
Just kind of curious, just out of curiosity, because I don't know. What is there a lot of Macintoshes affected by running Microsoft Office?
Well, see, that's the thing. That's what virus scanners on Mac OS X do. They check for Office, because, I mean, you know, there really isn't a whole lot that can be done. I mean, you know, you could...
It just says you have Office installed, beware.
Yeah, I mean, someone really has to, someone really has to help out the virus.
And most of those viruses then attack the Windows operating system once they exploit Outlook, so it doesn't, you know...
They just, you know, they hit Outlook, they start doing scripting run amok. The scripts have... There's no user control, there's no permission control, there's nothing. The scripts do, you know, rm-rf if they want, and, you know... Yeah, thanks for playing.
Same thing for Linux too. It's very, very non-virus friendly. Okay, and then also I'll skip that. It's not very interesting. Also there is this. I'm gonna skip these stories and talk about this one. This is probably the most interesting one, which is about a new sort of Trojan horse. Well, let me read about it. It's very advanced and it's. It's definitely the new age of viruses/backdoor software. Computer security experts in private sector of the U.S. government are monitoring an emergence of a new, highly sophisticated hacker tool that uses the same peer-to-peer networking abilities that power controversial file-sharing networks like Kazaa and AirShare, BitTorrent, and a billion others. By some estimates, hundreds of thousands of computers running Microsoft Windows operating system have already been infected worldwide. A program that security researchers have dubbed FatBot. It allows its authors to gain control over computers and link them to a peer-to-peer networks that can be used to send large amounts of spam email messages or to flood websites with data in an attempt to knock them offline. FatBot is a virtual Swiss Army knife of attack software. FatBot is a kind of Trojan horse, a type of program named after the legendary stealth attack, because it lets hackers take quiet control of unsecured computers. Security firms have cataloged hundreds, if not thousands, of Trojan horse programs in recent years, but FatBot has raised a substantial concern because it represents a leap forward in sophistication, and it's proving a much harder for law enforcement authorities and antivirus companies to eliminate. Like traditional Trojan horse programs, FatBot infects the computer through one of several routes, such as through security flaws in Microsoft's Windows operating system and through backdoors installed on machines by recent MyDoom and Beagle Internet worms. With these peer-to-peer Trojan networks, even if you take down half of the affected machines, the rest of the network continues to work just fine. I'm kind of reading just major highlights of the article here. Most major antivirus products detected FatBot, but as soon as the Trojan infects computers, it disables many antiviruses, software and firewall software tools. FatBot's ability to, to disable computer security software means that the estimated number of infected computers could rise as high as several hundred thousand. So that's...
That's not always necessarily... I mean that specifically is a bad thing. But I have a friend who works at a company, and I won't say who he is or who the company is. But they had a software program that was on a lot of client machines that needed to be upgraded because there was a security flaw. So they basically created a their own virus that went through and exploited their own software to do their own upgrade instead of, you know, having to roll it out.
Oh, that's really, that's ingenious.
Yeah, that,
oh,
that's, yeah. Not, that, that's beneficial.
That was totally right on. And I was wonder, like what would happen if, I mean, you'd probably still go to jail for this, so don't do it out there at home, kids. But, if someone, made, a variant of, Beagle or whatever that went through and closed the hole that Beagle opens, like Beagle and anti-Beagle.
Or turn FatBot, which seems to do a really good job, and have it go link all those computers up to Microsoft's site and have them download all the patches.
Yeah, I know.
And fix the machine.
Create, Savior Bot or something.
Well, was it? Was it the SoBiggy? There was another virus that that's exactly what it did, but there was a glitch in it, and it screwed up the process.
Well, you can't win them all.
Yeah. All right, two last stories here. Basically, SCO is getting excited and trying to go after the Department of Energy facilities and... what else? Oh, yeah. The Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory and the National Energy Research Scientific Computing Center. So now they're going after them for Linux violations, or I don't know how you could be violating something that hasn't been proved. They're doing that. And also an interesting yet, in my mind, very sick thing that's happening is that everyone now is coming out with their own, basically save your butt from SCO licensing program. In the end, they're pulling money out of people over something that hasn't even been proven yet. Open source risk management. Even named open source risk management. It started a company this last month, hired Pamela Jones, former editor of the popular growcog.net website, as director of litigation research. Plans to soon begin offering insurance policies to companies using open source software, but fear that they may be sued, according to a company spokesman. The company now offers a variety of professional services, including software certification and strategic consulting on open source software insurance. Also plans a series of training sessions on how to begin mitigating the risk of using open source software. What about the risk of using proprietary software? The first such session will be held April 27th at Santa Clara, California. So, they're just as bad as SCO, pulling money from people over something that hasn't been proven yet.
Well, since it's already been established that Microsoft is bankrolling SCO, and it's, totally, it's just one big giant corporate scam to destabilize open source and make everyone afraid, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Yeah, and these people are making it look sickening. It's sickening because they're like, we're on the side of the good guys. We're here to help you.
Right.
How can you establish a company and have all these people without revenue?
Somebody's got to be backing it. And then also, if you're downloading, open source software, how can you be really sued or asked to license it when you download it under an open source agreement?
I think everyone who's being hit by these viruses, and everyone who's having all sorts of spam problems because of insecure Microsoft products, I think everyone should sue Microsoft. See how they like it. I mean, if Microsoft, Microsoft might as well be the ones doing the suing. They're funding, they're doing it through a puppet, but it's really them. It's what they're doing to their aim, so I think they should get some of it back.
Yeah, and I think there have been a few companies, I don't think it was well published, though, for obvious reasons, that I think a few people have sued, rightfully so, downtime because of their bad product. Maybe they had a feature that was really cool for running a macro, but that helped them out in their Word docs, but it also, gave them a lot of downtime and paid their system administrator to fix all this crap when he could be building systems for employees that need it. So,
Well, if a car manufacturer had a really, neat feature that, some people liked, but it occasionally killed all the occupants of the car, they'd be sued.
Oh, yeah, that'd be. Well, unless it would actually cost more to fix it than to pay the lawsuits, then they would continue to do so.
Right. A times B times C. If C is greater than the cost of a recall, we don't do one.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that wraps up our show. I'm kind of looking here to see if I missed something. No, I didn't get that. Oh, and thanks to Bionome for bringing up that article about the Symbiote DDoS Counter-Strike tool. He did what anybody else that listens to the show can do, which is go to the forums at slipknot.org and basically post under the date of the In the Now show that, you know, the following internet In the Now show, and post an article or anything that you'd like us to read. And then also you can do any discussion about things you didn't agree with, or whatever, about any of the prior shows on there as well. And it's also in our forum, so you can post there for whatever you'd like. Okay, well, I don't know if anybody else has anything else to say.
No, I'm good, thanks.
2600 meetings coming up first Friday of April.
That's right. So be there, and Hope 5 up in July 9th through 11th, is that it?
Yes, 9th through 11th, the fifth Hope.
Awesome. Which is hope.net, which actually takes you to the-fifth-hope.net, I think. Just go to hope.net. You'll get there for sure. Okay, well, all right. Well, this is Slip Mode signing out, and we'll see everyone in 2 weeks.